I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Welcome to Fronteras, a show about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. A new study says during the first months of the Trump administration, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement took 22% more people into custody from Bexar County jails than in the previous year. That number was 60% for Harris County. The number went up in many of the most populous counties in the state, except Travis County, where there was an 83% decline in ICE transfers. But that's expected to change now that SB 4 is forcing sanctuary cities to comply with federal immigration enforcement. Elizabeth Trovall reports for Houston Public Media.
ICE prioritized certain groups for deportation during the later Obama years.
The Obama administration would only request that the local jail hand over somebody who had committed a serious crime, had been convicted of it.
That's Randy Capps with the Migration Policy Institute. The group authored the new study. Capps says now, under Trump, any arrested undocumented immigrant is fair game in counties cooperating with ICE. That applies to all of Texas since anti-sanctuary city legislation was passed last year. But Capps says sanctuary cities in other states are able to limit ICE's ability to deport.
The numbers of people being picked up and taken into federal custody and deported are much, much higher in Houston. You know, it's several thousand people per year than in Chicago, where it's very close to zero, even though the two cities are of almost comparable size.
In Houston, I'm Elizabeth Trovall.
Since President Trump took office, more undocumented immigrants are being held in detention centers waiting for their day in court. Some are eligible for release on bond, but bond amounts can vary widely, from $1,500 to upwards of $20,000, and some detainees just can't afford these bonds. Now, a group in El Paso is starting to raise money to pay for the bonds. They're calling it the Fronterizo Fianza Fund. Mallory Falk reports.
It's Saturday night, and there's a huge crowd at Neon Rose, a popular bar in El Paso. People clutch beers on the back patio or dance furiously inside. A few wait in line for food.
I have a delicious hot dog, right, with some delicious homemade beans.
People are here to eat, drink, and dance, but also to raise money. Gabriel Solis stands outside the bar, taking donations and stamping hands.
And we are raising money for the Fronterizo Fianza Fund. The funds will go to get people who are in ICE processing centers out of those centers, pay for legal fees and commissary funds.
Solis is with the Detained Migrant Solidarity Committee, a local group that's hosting the Cumbia fundraiser.
So we're trying to net some cumbias for like a rad cause.
By the end of the night, after at least one cumbia remix of Rihanna, his group has raised $2,700. Most of that will go toward posting bond for a woman named Blanca Vazquez. Vazquez says she fled El Salvador with her 12-year-old son after her husband was murdered and the rest of her family was threatened. She turned herself in to Border Patrol and said she was seeking asylum. Vazquez was separated from her son, a practice immigrant advocates say has increased since President Trump took office. Vazquez's son, not even yet a teenager, was sent across the U.S. to a secure facility in New York. She was being detained at the El Paso Processing Center until this day.
So we are on our way to the detention center to go pick up Blanca.
Taylor Levy drives fast down I-10 towards the detention center near the El Paso airport. She's unable to contain her excitement. Levy works with Annunciation House, a shelter for immigrants and refugees. It provides them with food, clothes, and a place to stay while they figure out what's next. Part of Levy's job is getting people from the detention center to the shelter. Sometimes that can get tricky.
I picked up one lady once and she didn't speak almost any Spanish. She spoke an indigenous dialect.
And didn't understand who Levy was or what was happening.
And so I kept drawing like pictures of crosses and churches and like trying to explain that I was a good person and that I was here for her. But she was really scared of me because I'm a random white girl in a nice car. It's like, who are you?
Levy tells me it seemed like Blanca Vazquez was on the fast track to be deported, but then some lawyers in Pennsylvania read about her case and decided to take it on. She won her bond hearing. The judge set her bond at $7,500, and a bunch of people got to work raising money. Throw in cumbia night, and now Vazquez is getting released.
Hi, how are y'all? I'm picking up a bond lady, actually. Has she been let out yet?
The detention center is off a busy six-lane street. Levy doesn't see Vasquez waiting, and a guard says she hasn't been released.
So this is where the fun waiting happens, and we just park in this no parking anytime area and sit here and wait to see if she comes out.
We could be waiting 10 minutes or we could be waiting like hours.
And so we wait. El Paso is one of the harshest districts in the immigration system. The immigration judges here deny more than 90% of asylum cases. It's hard to win bond in the first place and to win an affordable bond. Alan Dicker is with the Detained Migrant Solidarity Committee, the group behind the Fianza Bail Fund, one of several immigration bail funds that have launched in the last few years. Dicker says it's heartbreaking to tell detainees with $20,000 bonds that he can't help them out.
And they either have to sit in detention while their court process plays out, which can be well over a year, or they sign their own deportation out of desperation because they don't want to be in that situation, even though they might have a good case.
On top of that, it's really hard to get legal services when you're in detention. Ian Philibaum is with Innovation Law Lab, a nonprofit that helps immigration lawyers. He says if you can't win or pay a bond offer, you're even less likely to find an attorney.
If you go in front of an immigration judge without an attorney to argue your case, there's an extremely higher likelihood that you will lose your case and be ordered deported.
So bonding out is an important first step. I've been sitting outside the El Paso Detention Center waiting for Blanca Vasquez to be released on bond for over an hour when Taylor Levy gets a call.
Hey, what's up? Okay, yay! Well, she's okay, though.
ICE brought Vasquez directly to Annunciation House.
Probably trying to be nice, but they didn't give us any heads up. But she is free. Blanca is out.
A rush hour traffic ride later, we arrive at the shelter. Vasquez comes out with a huge, beaming smile. She's dressed in jeans and a black button-up shirt with pink trim, the first real clothing she's worn in months.
Libre!
Free, Levy says. She and Vasquez embrace, simultaneously laughing and crying.
Gracias a ustedes y a todas las personas que me han apoyado, pues yo les doy gracias.
Vasquez says she's grateful to everyone who donated to her bail fund. She can't pay them back, but hopes God blesses them. Her ordeal isn't over, though. Vasquez lifts up a pant leg to show off her ankle monitor. She still has to show up in court for her asylum case. But she can prepare for that day in freedom, reunited with her young son, who is also now out of a New York secure facility. For now, they're living as a family again. In El Paso, I'm Mallory Falk.
The national immigration debate largely focuses on how a person enters the country, but an effort in San Diego examines the process after immigrants arrive, and it's tapping the public for help. Taryn Minto of KPBS in San Diego has more.
A series of community forums this month aims to gather public comment on how San Diego systems help newcomers integrate. The Welcoming San Diego initiative officially kicked off in February. The launch event highlighted the economic contributions of immigrants. Lead organizer Samuel Choi on Skype says he hopes this next stage will bring in an additional perspective.
We heard a lot from people who are mostly the leaders and practitioners in helping immigrants, but we want to hear from the immigrants themselves.
The input will be added to a plan intended to advise the city on where and how it can improve. Taryn Mento, KPBS News.
Coming up on Fronteras, you might be getting mom some flowers or chocolates this weekend for Mother's Day, but nothing says I love you like a song.
The most beautiful thing for me is like how everybody just starts to cry. And it's just so emotional for them.
Stay tuned to Fronteras. We'll be right back.
Hermoso cariño, hermoso cariño, que Dios me ha mandado a ser destinado no más para mí, precioso regalo, precioso regalo. Del cielo ha llegado y que me ha colmado de dicha y amor. Hermoso cariño, hermoso cariño.
Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.
Como piedra preciosa
The music of mariachis can bring a grown man to tears, especially when conjuring thoughts of his mother. Mother's Day serenades are popular in the Mexican and Mexican-American culture. Musicians make the rounds door to door from dusk to dawn, singing songs of love to the women who gave us all life. Gino Rivera is director of Mariachi Azteca de America. Deborah Torres is director of the all-female Mariachi Flor de Jalisco. Both live and work in San Antonio. They spoke to me about the time-honored traditions of Mother's Day serenatas.
I come from three generations of mariachis here in San Antonio. And when I started as a kid, it had started way before me. So, of course, it comes from Mexico, the tradition of serenading a loved one in the madrugada, in the after midnight hours, and a woman coming to her balcony or to her window being serenaded by a mariachi group or just by one man just playing the guitar and singing to her. So that's that tradition. I can't tell you how far back it goes, but I do know, I'm pretty sure it goes back more than 100 years because we have a record of mariachis being over 100 years old, you know, in existence already. One being Mariachi Vargas at Tecalitlan, who completed already 120 years.
It's kind of a rough gig, though, right? Because you guys are playing in the early, early morning between like midnight and 6 a.m. Deborah, tell us a little bit about how that might mess a little bit with your schedule, that kind of a gig.
Well, the most popular time slot that we get asked for is always the midnight time slot. Everybody wants that. And then after that, it's any time from midnight to 3 in the morning. And it is tiresome because we usually start Saturday, even though Mother's Day is on Sunday, here in the United States at least, we start getting calls on that Saturday. So we'll start Saturday early in the morning. And you don't sleep until Sunday.
Sometimes Monday.
Sometimes Monday. It doesn't end.
But you brought up a good point. I mean, there's the Mexican Mother's Day, which is May the 10th, and then you have the American Mother's Day. And that's, you know, unless that day falls on the same day, which it doesn't always, you guys are going to have a pretty busy weekend.
Yes. It's a blessing in disguise. I mean, you know, so when you start working on the Mexican Mother's Day, and you work until, sometimes even the day after, you know, here in the States, it's that Sunday, but sometimes on Monday, they're still calling us. You know, they didn't get a chance, or they were out of town, or mom was out of town. And the luxury is having a lot of mariachis in San Antonio is, oh, I'll pass this, because you're just dead tired sometimes. But it's a great weekend. It's a marathon weekend. And we prepare for it mentally, because we know it's coming up. It's, again, I'll say again, it's a blessing, because it keeps your guys happy, it keeps them working, and it keeps food on the table. And again, you're being a blessing to these mothers that are out there who, without them, where would we be, right?
Deborah, you guys already kind of have the set playlist. Mariachis already kind of have a list of the favorite songs that the moms love to hear every Mother's Day. What are some of the most requested ones that you get to play?
Well, we definitely get a lot of O Madre Querida, Las Mañanitas, Gema. A lot of people love Gema, Hermoso Cariño. And there's a few, you know, Mother's Day songs that we'll throw in there that people don't know as much. Like there's this beautiful song called Mama, Canto a la Madre. And the most beautiful thing for me is like how everybody just starts to cry. And it's just so emotional for them. And I think all of our mothers, they always feel very appreciative that their children would even think to send something so beautiful, because it's a gift that you'll remember forever. You'll always remember, oh, my child brought me this, and I had this beautiful serenade from a mariachi.
It's very nostalgic. You know,
they have memories associated with these songs
with
already.
With these songs, and of course, of their mothers, you know, their grandmothers. And that's one thing that mariachi music is, like any music, but more so in the Mexican community, in the culture. It's very nostalgic, you know. Most of our repertoire, our songs are over 50 years old, you know, at least. Something new is like 20 years old. When you touch somebody's heart and you just reach them with just one note or one song or one verse and you just see them, it just touches home. And I'll be honest with you, I can't take a serenade to my mom. It's tough. I can't do it. I've tried it once, and I've only done it once. And she's probably upset about that, but I'm like, Mom, even if I did go, you know, I'm just going to be crying like a baby. You're not going to hear the song. It's going to sound horrible. So, yeah, I don't do it.
Same here. But I was successful in mine because I didn't look at my mom. I was looking in another direction, but I felt the same thing. I was like, I can't because she's crying and I'm going to start to cry too. And it's really beautiful when you actually get to sing to your own mom and express like this love that you feel. And every single time I sing a song to one of the moms that we're serenading, like I imagine that I'm singing it to my own mom because, you know, that's what somebody else feels for that person. So that's what I want to express when I'm singing it too.
Have you had any unusual requests from people who want to have a particular song played for their mothers? Something that's sort of off the list.
I wouldn't say there are any crazy requests out there.
Crazy requests, you know, because usually we'll have a set list of songs that we'll normally play. Mm-hmm. Like typically what we do is a 5-song serenade. And so we'll go with 4 that are already, you know, the standard Mother's Day songs that we know everybody likes to hear. And on the 5th one, we'll be like, what do you want to hear? What's your request? And sometimes there's people who say, you know, I like this song. And it has nothing to do with Mother's Day. It could be a song that it's heart-wrenching, sad song, a drinking song, yes. And that's what they want to hear. So, you know, if that's the request that they have on Mother's Day and it's their day, sure, yeah, we'll go ahead and play it for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. Before you showed up, Gino, Deborah and I were talking about Juan Gabriel, and she was saying that pretty much any song that he sings, there is going to be some sort of emotion or memory that you have tied. That's my life. No, that song is my life. And, you know, mariachi music tends to have that emotional reaction, yes, that type of emotion. I don't know if it's associated with any other type of genre, but mariachi music and just the culture, you know, Latinos and Hispanics, then just to have a type of music that mm-hmm. can help even pull it out even more, I think it's much more appreciated.
It is.
The way I always explain it to people like here in Texas who don't really understand, like, well, how are all these emotions? I say, George Strait. Mm-hmm. If you listen to George Strait, he's the only other person who I can think of that has such a wide spectrum of emotions in his songs. Where, like, George, you're feeling like,
it's
yes.
It's simplicity. Mm-hmm. You know, if you listen to his songs, I like you said, I compare George Strait a lot and with José Alfredo Jiménez, you know, simplicity. José Alfredo, who wrote his songs, his lyrics, people didn't see him as a best singer, but his emotion that came across in his singing mm-hmm. was so real, and you know he lived it. So the same thing with George Strait, you know, you hear his songs, you know what, there's truth in this because I've lived it. And I think that's what hits everyone. It's not the complexity of the music, you know, the lyrics, huge vocabulary. It's just simple, and it gets across to everyone. Mm-hmm. And that's what mariachi music is. What I love is when you see the young kids who probably don't even understand Spanish, they don't listen to mariachi music, but when they hear it, it catches their attention. Or I have friends who are my age who didn't grow up with it, didn't listen to it, but now it reminds them of their grandparents or my mom or their dad. You know, they may only know 2 or 3 songs, but they're still hooked and they're connected. And I think that's what it is. It's a sense of connection to their history, to their culture, to their family. And it's beautiful.
You know, it's very cross-generational. That's yes. one thing that mariachi music does. And it's true, because it is like the music of your grandparents, the music of your parents, and you hear it, you love it, and you're like, oh, that reminds me of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And now I do understand what the words are saying. So it's not just because it reminds me of my family, it's because now I feel it too. I know what it's saying.
I have a good one for you. There was one time I was singing a certain song, and, you know, I've sung it for probably 15 years, right? And never did it hit me until I went through, you know, the experience of being in love and breakup. And, you know, so I'll never forget. It was about 2 weeks after that. And I'm singing a song that I sing all the time. And I'm there. And all of a sudden, I just feel like, oh, why am I tearing up? You know, wait a minute. I'm listening to the words as I'm singing it. Like, if I'm actually standing in front of myself. And, wow, this song. Okay, now I really understand this song. So I think that's one of the things, too, is a lot of kids, they don't understand it until they live it. And then when they do and they hear this song, a Spanish song, a mariachi song, like, oh, I love that song. And it may be just one, but it was a nostalgic moment in their life, you know, and so a connection again.
We've been speaking with Gino Rivera, director of Mariachi Azteca de America, and Deborah Torres, director of the all-female Mariachi Flor de Jalisco.
Le canto a la mujer que quiero tanto.
Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find the show under the Programs tab on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Norma Martinez and Jerry Quijano produced the broadcast. Our executive producers are Steve Short and Fernando Ortiz. Our digital editor is Vince Kong. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Happy Mother's Day. Feliz Día de la Madre.